I think I'm entitled.
You want answers.
I want the truth.
You can't handle the truth.
This is Larry Connors USA. Larry Connors USA.
Joe Biden's war on American energy is one of the key drivers of the worst inflation in 58 years, and it's hitting every single American family very, very hard. Biden reversed every action I took that achieved energy independence, and soon we were going to be energy dominant all over the world, energy dominant. In effect, Biden's anti-American energy crusade is a massive tax hike on everything. Higher energy costs raise the price of food, raw material, shipping, transportation, construction, manufacturing, and everything else.
Feb 9, 2023, the former President Donald Trump, the only Republican at this time to announce he's running, in fact, the only candidate in either party to officially announce he's running, and that's part of one of his campaign releases. And he added that nobody has more liquid gold under their feet than we do in this country. We'll be rich again, we'll be happy again, proud again, contrary to how we're living under the Biden administration. Although Biden the other day in his State of the Union insisted we're strong. And of course he made some other statements and immediately got the reaction from the crowd.
Some Republicans want Medicare and Social Security to sunset. I'm not saying it's a majority. I'll give you a copy of the proposal. That means Congress doesn't vote. Well, I'm glad to see.
Fentanyl is killing more than 70,000 Americans a year. Big, you got it.
Yeah, your fault. Oh, my God. All of those on the left went baloney bonkers. You can't do that to the president when he's up there. Well, they did, because they were not going to sit there and let him lie without some retort. No, we're not the House of Commons, but that's kind of what it turned into. And James Carville, who was the strategist for Bill Clinton to get into the White House, he looked at all that action among those Republicans, and he said that nothing but white trash.
The level of white trashdom in the Republican Party is just staggering. I mean, for somebody that has observed it for a long time like I have, I've never seen it manifest itself on the level that it's manifesting itself. You cannot do anything. They have low-quality people. Warren Bobert, you know, met her husband when, allegedly, according to police report, exposed himself to her at a bowling alley. This is not makeup stuff. This is who they are. To see just how trashy these people are, how rude they are, how ill-mannered they are, and you don't get to see this very often at this level. And you really got to see it last night at this level. I'm a big believer that, you know, the State of the Union, I mean, no one cares. It doesn't change anything. I don't know what it'll change last night, but it was vastly and enormously entertaining to me.
Entertaining. Mr. Carville, what about Bill Clinton in the White House with Monica Lewinsky? Would that qualify as white trash behavior, or is it maybe white privilege trash behavior? Or Hunter Biden all over his laptop with prostitutes snorting cocaine. How does that reflect on the Biden family? But, of course, there's that other case, too. You know the one I'm talking about. Even Whoopi Goldberg on The View had to acknowledge, yeah, there's this other thing.
I listen to people say, you know, we need to find a better way to talk to each other. Yeah. And then we see all these adults standing up, showing their behinds, as my mother would say, you know, and indulging in really what is despicable behavior. Yeah. You don't have to like what he says, but you owe him the respect. He is the president.
Yeah, exactly.
And for God's sake, we had to listen to you know who.
Oh.
And nobody yelled.
Nope.
Nobody said you're a liar. Well,
Nancy,
you're a moron.
Nancy tore up the paper. It was over at least.
It was finished.
It was finished.
But
you need to
like get your party in order, man.
Yeah, get your party in order. And she acknowledged, yes, Nancy tore up the paper behind Trump, but that was after he had finished the speech. So what, you get a pass if you do it after the speech? When Nancy Pelosi stood there knowing she's on camera standing behind Donald Trump and she's taking his speech and ripping it apart, that not qualify as trashy? I know the speech went into her trash. They just didn't like the fact that there are some Republicans. They're not going to pay attention to your damn decorum anymore if you're going to stand up there and say things that are a lie. They're not pushing for cutting Social Security and welfare. And neither did Biden mention, by the way, that when he was a senator, he was pushing to hold a debt ceiling level. No hikes, which would have cut into Social Security and Medicare. He didn't bother mentioning that, did he? Oh, of course not. Oh, and the balloon over the U.S. of A. CBS national security correspondent talked to our defense secretary about reaching out and trying to find out what was going on and when did you do it. And, well, you got to hear this.
This has always been the sticking point in relations with China, is the difficulty of contacting them. And in a prickly relationship like this, you need to be able to talk to each other in order to clear up misunderstandings so a misunderstanding doesn't become something much worse. Mm-hmm. So I asked him what happened when he tried to call his Chinese counterpart just after the balloon had been shot down. Did you try to talk to your Chinese counterpart?
I did. I called him I put in a request for a call. And they did not accept that request.
That was before or after the shootdown?
After the shootdown.
Oh, after the shootdown? You didn't call until after? General, that was a bad decision. We got a lot to cover the rest of this hour for you. Woke corporations do not want to be so woke anymore. It's too costly. And then we have this story. The Church of England wants to make God gender neutral. You don't want to go anywhere. You want to hear every one of these. Lock and load. Ready. On the right. Hundreds of homeowners and businesses had or will have water main breaks. Wellington Environmental has a warning. You can clean up the water, but if you're not checking areas where the water leaked in the walls where you can't see it, you could end up exposing your family, your employees, your clients to hazardous mold. Wellington Environmental reminds you, if that mold is not detected, properly treated, removed, that is a risk, a liability you do not want. Wellington clients, including hospitals and schools, trust Wellington to make their environments safe. Call 314-644-4930, 644-4930, AAA rating with the Better Business Bureau, 314-644-4930, Wellington Environmental, your world, cleaner, better, safer. Be well with Wellington.
You can text Larry right now at Larry Connors USA Facebook, Larry Connors USA Facebook.
This is Larry Connors USA.
Larry Connors USA.
So let me add a couple of notes regarding the issue of Disney and how it's going to have to start laying off employees. They had a disastrous 2022, stock plummeting 44%, worst in five decades. And, of course, the former CEO, Bob Chapek, was abruptly fired. They brought back in Iger. But what was going on? Well, it's because woke had basically taken control of Disney in many ways. Yes, the COVID epidemic obviously caused a lot of it as well. Not going to deny that. But they continue trying to push this woke stuff, and the public is not buying it. You're talking to a very small slice of the audience, and they're no longer Disney-friendly. And that brings me to my guest to deal with some of how these corporations are dealing with it. Adam Rosseri, Chief Marketing Officer, the American Partner Interactive. Adam, glad to have you on board with us.
Hey, great to be with you. Thanks for having me.
So let's begin with you deal with companies and helping them, get messaging out or not? Exactly what is the American Partner Interactive?
Yeah, so we're Agency Partner Interactive, and we help businesses essentially get in front of their customers. We use digital marketing and just create great online experiences to connect, you know, really how a business is able to convince the market that their products and services are the best ones to serve the needs of buyers.
All right. So, I'm going to rush it forward. So within that, yep. Are you advising them when they start going down a particular path that you see that's going to be not a good decision for your company?
That's what we get paid to do, right? And I think that's what a lot of marketing and advertising professionals are failing so terribly at right now. You get paid to ensure that the brands you represent are able to successfully enter the market, to successfully connect with their customers, and to and book a sale, right? Whether it's a product or service that you're selling. And when advertisers are happy to take the millions of dollars that these big companies pay for their ad budgets each year, when they're happy to take that money and they fail to advise these woke CEOs that, hey guys, your messaging right now, the messaging that we are coming up with together is alienating not only your customers, but also a significant amount of your employee base.
And what's their response when you sit down with these CEOs and say, your woke messaging is not only destroying the company, you're destroying your company from inside as well as outside?
You'd really be surprised. So if you get the CEOs by themselves at a lunch or a dinner or a happy hour, they'll be extremely transparent with you. They'll tell you, you know what? Yeah, I don't like this stuff. Like, this is not what I even agree with personally. But when I'm at the boardroom and when I'm in the office, I have to sit here with this diversity, equity, and inclusion person next to me, and I have to act like I'm drinking the Kool-Aid, and I have to act like I agree with all this stuff. I have to agree that, you know, this concept of whiteness is toxic. And really, you see, like, these very different experiences that these CEOs sort of portray. And what I see from that is I see leaders who are weak. I see leaders who are afraid to stand up for what's right. I see leaders who are literally alienating people, not just their customers, but their employees as well. And frankly, it creates for a hostile work environment. And what you see from that is inside the break rooms, you see these little groups of employees who feel, frankly, victimized by the HR team.
Right.
Little teams within the org chart who are trying to ram down and force people to smile when they have to show up to something called drag queen happy hour.
And within that, the context, the employee says, you know, I got a mortgage, I got a family. Until I can get something else, I got to live through this. I've got to live through it now. And on the other side, let's be balanced here. There are those that might be either a color or a different religion, or maybe they are transsexual or whatever else. They feel like, well, I'm going to be picked on in this company all the time. So it cuts both ways to that extent. But when you take a slice of the population, I mean, we're talking about such a minor slice of the population that is pushing this stuff on these corporations, basically blackmailing and extorting them if you do not do this. I mean, that's what happened with Coca-Cola in Atlanta, right? It's what happened with the baseball out of Atlanta. All the money that went out.
When MLB moves from Atlanta to Boulder, Colorado, in the interest of diversity, I mean, what a joke, right? I mean, what a total joke! Not only do they alienate, you know, they basically took $100 million of business from the small business owners of Atlanta, and then went to Boulder, which is a statistically less diverse location. So, you know, it's such a joke, and that's the thing about these woke CEOs is that, in the interest of diversity, they do things that actually stifle diversity, and I mean diversity of thought. And, of course, that affects the diversity of people, right? And so those people who feel alienated within the customer base and then also within the employee base of these enterprises, it's a diversity of people who think differently than obviously the woke narrative, right? Because these are people that subscribe to real life.
I'm looking at a piece by Axios. It's pointing out that how they were so, companies, corporations were so vocal for a while. And it pointed back in 2020 after the murder of George Floyd, executives from Dell Technologies, Merck, and Ford made statements slamming police brutality. But lately, the CEO Action Network, which consists of 2,400 CEOs, publicly pledging to create more inclusive cultures while not being afraid of having difficult conversations about diversity, equity, and inclusion. When asked about more details, is no comment. And when other leaders are asked about the fatal police beating of Tyree Nichols, Ford, Merck, Dale all said no comment. In other words, don't want to.
Right.
We don't want to be on screen. We don't want our voice. We don't. We want to walk away. Now, does that put
you? What's interesting? So this is really just kind of a story of hypocrisy and weakness. So if you think about the George Floyd situation, you know, that involved a black man with a white cop. The Tyree Nichols video was absolutely horrifying. You saw a man who was basically beaten to death by a gang of guys. And in that case, it was a black man being beat by black cops. And so this particular story did not fit a narrative that the whole DEI crew would like to force down our throats. And so, you know, you see the CEO Action Network really not jumping on board to say, oh my gosh, that was a terrible thing that we witnessed. Because you know what the reality is that was a terrible thing that we witnessed. The murder of Tyree Nichols was absolutely awful. And you know what? It's okay to feel things about that, right? You can feel outrage, you can feel anger.
Sure.
But it looks like Memphis has worked really quickly to try and, you know, bring accountability to those individuals who took that man's life. But all that being said, if the story doesn't fit the narrative, then you're not going to see the far left push CEOs to be vocal, right? And we see that time and time again from one headline to the next.
Well, we look at the bottom line. I mean, that's what they're looking at. They have to do that and their stockholders. CNN's numbers are way down. They're slashed. They yanked Don Lemon off and put him on in the morning. He's obviously not happy. And they're saying they're trying to be more fair and balanced. I add BS to that. And then you heard me talk a little bit about Disney laying all these folks off, and the Disney streaming channel series, A Proud Family, Louder and Prouder, is pushing reparation for slavery. You got Netflix with this stuff all the time. Now, it's up to the public. I don't say boycott anything. You have a right to make a decision too or not. That's your decision as an individual. And the corporations are entitled, as a private company, to do what they want to. But if I don't like it, they're not going to get my business, and they aren't going to lose not just mine, but other business.
Exactly right.
And it cuts both ways, obviously. But when you're trying to, but the other side is extorting in the sense you have to do it our way or we will destroy you. I don't say that to these companies.
Right. No. Well, you know, what you saw, so in respect of Delta, right, they got really involved in the election integrity conversations when Georgia was trying to firm up its voter safety, right? And you saw them do the same thing where I am in Texas. They were getting super vocal into the election integrity conversation because you had far left groups that were running full page advertisements trying to say, hey, put pressure on these big CEOs to stand up and speak out against reforms that are actually really, really good for, you know, ensuring that our votes are protected. People at the end of the day, I mean, Delta Airlines can't even get their customer service right. So why are we going to listen to a company sit here and tell us what to think about election integrity when we can go and read for ourselves what the law might be? Why do we care about Disney meddling in Florida public education, getting involved in Florida's government schools? Shouldn't Disney focus on creating wholesome family content? Because it seems like they've been failing at that as well. And that's why their shareholders have been abused. You know, from one earnings report to the next, they are tanking right now. They're hemorrhaging profitability. So, you know, you see these companies now, we're kind of teetering a recession, right? In and out of a recession under Biden's America. It's been very hard. Our dollar does not go as far. It costs $10 for a carton of eggs. And so these companies have to kind of refocus their attention on the customers, right? Focus on creating customers and consistency of their products and services and stop wasting money on woke initiatives.
And, of course, we also have to worry about what's going on with our military in the sense of what's going, you know, how that's being pushed in the military. And the other part of this is that they have changed the culture at Disney, which used to be so engaging and family friendly. I remember specifically talking to my daughters one time. They might have been maybe 8 and 10, and I mentioned something about traditions, and they said, "What's a tradition?" I said, "Well, it's something you do as a family on a regular basis." And one of them said, "Watch Disney every Sunday together." I said, "Yes." And the other one said, "And order pizza." Yeah, that's part of the tradition too. Disney has taken so many kids at this point that maybe their parents thought, "Well, it's a Disney product; it's got to be okay." They're not awake. They're not awake and seeing how the woke has basically destroyed that company and its vision.
Well, consider this, right? Disney is a company that basically is promoting the idea that if you're a black conservative, you must be a white nationalist, which is just absolutely absurd. You know, it's like in this country, you can be born into any, like, you can be any color and you can think anything you want, right? That's you're allowed. But these woke CEOs don't want you to think that way. They want you to think the way that they want you to think.
But like you said, in the private, they admit, I don't really think that way, but I got to do this.
Right. Exactly right. Exactly right. Yeah.
Adam, in the last 30 or 40 seconds here, where do you see this going 5 years down the road? Are you going to see, quote, woke having any impact on these corporations, or the ones that they are still impacting, though they have dried up and blown away?
You know what? If we're not able to preserve free speech in this country, then yeah, I mean, we're going to basically see the woke thing turn into an even worse thing, right? It's going to be really just a situation or a system of total control between the corporate elites and the political elites. If we're not able to protect free speech, then we're not going to be able to share the ideas that do help our country be great and to actually have honest discussions about our problems. So I think that we are going to see freedom prevail. I think that we're going to see free speech prevail, and customers are going to really spend their money where they feel most comfortable spending their money, not with what corporations, but with companies that align with their ideas.
All right. Adam, I want to thank Adam Rizzieri. He's with the Agency Partner Interactive. I thank you for your time and your thoughts. We'll be back with you in a future date on some of these same issues.
Hey, thank you.
Thank you very much. Ackerman Toyota wishing you a great 2023. But Jay Ackerman knows that times are tough for some. So Jay has a mission to help charities that truly make a difference. Food banks, veterans groups, charities battling cancer, head injuries. Jay wants to give back to the community. So I personally ask you to consider his mission when you're shopping for a car. AckermanToyota.com. Ackerman Toyota at Hampton and Interstate 44. Ackerman Toyota for life. There is a great story about how John Beale Roofing got started. I encourage you to read it at their website, johnbealeroofing.com. That 1947 story leads to three generations of the Beale family repairing, replacing roofs on homes and businesses. Read the story at johnbealeroofing.com. And when you need roofing help, support my sponsor, John Beale. Call 1-800-NEW-ROOF. 1-800-NEW-ROOF. I can feel my face when I'm with you.
My love it. And I know she'll be the death of me. At least we'll both be numb. And she'll always get the best of me. The worst is yet to come. All the misery was necessary. Well, what deep in love? Yes, I know.
This is Larry Connors USA.
Larry Connors USA.
Well, we're learning more about what Twitter and other big tech companies were doing to hide the story about the Hunter Biden laptop and to make sure the election would go to Joe Biden. I remind you again, despite the votes counted, there was fraud in the last election. It began when the FBI got weaponized and sent word to big tech companies and the state-controlled media, be aware there's a story coming that might be more Russian propaganda like 2016. There never was any Russian propaganda in 2016. But never mind the fact. Just beware, it might be coming again. So when the story for the New York Post surfaced, aha, there it is. Don't report it. Don't let it get out. So big tech shut down the New York Post internet activity, and the state-controlled media did its duty and just ignored it. Well, now big tech and others are in front of the House Oversight Committee. I've got a piece here written by Jordan Boyd. I want to give her the credit for it, for the Federalist. And I love the title. Former Twitter executives denied efforts at a partisan censorship while also suggesting their censorship hadn't gone far enough. And she quotes the committee chair, Congressman James Comer, and points out, in his words, Twitter employees made censorship decisions on the fly, often not following the company's own policy, publicly stated policies. It worked hand in hand with the FBI to monitor the protected speech of Americans, receiving millions of tax dollars to do so. Twitter, under the leadership of our witnesses today, was a private company the federal government used to accomplish what it constitutionally cannot: limit free exercise of speech. Well, of course, on the other side, Democrats are saying, no, this is just a show, nothing to it. Democrat Congresswoman Maxwell Frost suggesting this is just because the GOP is frustrated with the 2020 results. Yeah. Well, we are frustrated, but what we want to do is get to the truth. And the witnesses included the deputy general counsel at Twitter, Baker, who also used to serve as lead counsel for the FBI, and the former chief legal officer at Twitter, Gade, who was fired by Musk shortly after he got hold of the company. And right away, Gade and others repeatedly stated, and you know, in hindsight, this was a mistake. A mistake. Same thing the Twitter CEO Jack Dorsey indicated back in 2021. You know when you admit mistakes, my friend? You admit mistakes when you're caught making a mistake. And they got caught. Republican Congressman William Timmons said, there are mistakes that have been made, and we keep looking back at these mistakes and saying, oh, that shouldn't have happened that way. We're going to have a new policy to avoid that from happening again. We all know what happens then, don't we? During the hearing, Baker, as I said, had been with the FBI, according to the report from the Federalist, had the audacity to claim that he did not destroy or improperly suppress any documents at Twitter. I did not act unlawfully or otherwise inappropriately in any manner with respect to Hunter Biden's laptop. He's got that story and he's sticking to it. Gade admits she gave the green light to block the link to the New York Post reporting because she feared it might have been hacked. She said, yeah, I ultimately gave the decision. Oh, but my bad. That was a mistake. We shouldn't have done that. Isn't it interesting? When you're caught in the middle of a mistake, a crime, as it were, in this case. It was a mistake. I'm here. I should have been 1,000 miles away and didn't know anything about Twitter or never heard of Hunter Biden. That's my story, and I'm sticking to it. Yep, that's the way they're doing it. But Republicans are going to drill down deeper and deeper. All right, so now let's turn our attention to more reaction from the Roe v. Wade Supreme Court decision. Let me tell you what they're doing in the state of Maryland. The Maryland governor, Wes Moore, and state lawmakers are scheduled to announce support for measures protecting abortion rights. Okay, it's a state. They can do that. What they're going to do at this point is to announce not just protection for abortion rights, but include it in a state constitutional amendment that would enshrine abortion. And they're expecting more women to travel to Maryland for abortions because of restrictions in other states after the U.S. Supreme Court decision striking down Roe v. Wade as a law of the land and sending it back to the states. Now, you might be incensed by this. On one hand, I am. But at the other side, this is if that's just what they want to do in Maryland, it's their state. That's the whole point of the high court when it decided Roe v. Wade was wrong. It's not a law of the land. It's not found in the Constitution. It's not protected by federal constitution at any point. I don't like them setting it up like this, but I also hope that they, women in that area will decide, you know, more I thought about it, I don't want to abort. Vermont, back in November, of course, became the first state to approve a constitutional amendment protecting abortion rights. Moore, the governor, is a Democrat, obviously, and has demonstrated his support for abortion rights right after he took office. Announced on the second day he was in office, he was releasing $3.5 million in state funding to expand abortion training. Money had been withheld by his predecessor, Republican Governor Larry Hogan, at the time. This is what they're going to do in that state. And again, that was the point of the ruling from the Supreme Court. You might not like what they're doing. Same way that those who are in favor of abortion don't like what Texas and Missouri are doing. But the states are making their decision. That's where the power should lie. That is within their rights, not a federal thing. And not like Biden brought up the other day in his State of the Union, basically suggesting maybe we should codify on a national level abortion. A new legislature, a new governor, maybe they could strike it from their constitution. I don't know. I don't have all the wording and not a legal mind to know for sure how they could or would. But again, that's the whole idea of the state making the decision. There's no doubt thousands of lives have been saved since the Roe v. Wade decision because some states have automatically triggered no abortions under any circumstance. I have a problem with no circumstance, but let's let it stand for right now. And then others have said a heartbeat bill, which I'm certainly in favor of. And I have a problem, to be quite honest, and I know some women that say, well, why are you against a woman's right to choose? My response is, why are you against defending the unborn? More importantly, why are you in favor of killing an unborn? Silence and more silence.
You are listening to Larry Connors, USA.
Wow, already 2023, and we're getting closer to opening Napoli Sea. Unique, exquisite, focusing on the finest, freshest seafood, lobster, crab, the best caviar, with a variety of fish specials. Napoli Sea, right next door to Napoli 3 on the streets of St. Charles. Easy to satisfy your seafood craving or the finest Italian food. Napoli Sea, coming soon, joining Napoli 3 in St. Charles, Town and Country, and Clayton.
This is Larry Connors, USA.
Larry Connors, USA.
Well, the Church of England wants to be woke. The Church of England. They're now beginning to look at a project using more gender-neutral language for God. Everywhere in my Bible and in your Bible, unless it's been written by some woke person, it says Father. Our Father. And I have to admit that there was a time I didn't really understand the real value that the word held until I became a father of children. Now I see them stumble and I help them get up or I punish them for something they do, and that is what our Father in the Bible does. Now there are going to be some who say, well, what are you going to change it to? Obviously. What is it, he, she? We've been down this road to some extent before, but now the Church of England is ready to move forward to make it the male pronoun for God should not be used again, or it certainly should not be interpreted as God as being a male. The Bible primarily, it says, according to this one bishop, uses masculine pronouns for God for a reason, and that male and female imagery is not interchangeable. That's the fact that God is called Father, can't be substituted by Mother without changing, nor can it be gender neutral to parent. without loss of a meeting. He's got it, but I don't know if they're going to listen. But all this does fall in line as they try to push forward with it to say, we need a God who's gender neutral. God has a sense of humor. I do believe that. Although at this point, I don't know if he's laughing or ready to rain down wrath. Remember our pledge, one nation under God.